Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hello, friends. It is Friday. Oh, my goodness. Yay. It is Fri-yay, as my kids say sometimes, and I feel that way. There's just something about Friday that will give you a little pep of energy. Even if you have to work or do something over the weekend, welcome to Friday. So glad to be here in studio with you for Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday, where I answer questions that I have been getting in my community, online, just everywhere, and trying to answer as many of those as I can. But I've got a very special treat for you today, and for me, honestly, if I'm being really honest. Today in studio, I am joined by two very special guests. I've got my producer, Stephanie Moses, who is joining me live behind the microphone. She's usually behind the board helping Richard, our board operator, get everything going that needs to be done to get us on the air. And I also have a special guest named Shelby Peck. And if you're wondering, oh, are they related? Why, yes, that is my daughter who is joining me. She is in college, about to start her senior year. Oh, pass those Kleenex. I can't believe you're going to be a senior. I know. It's so sad. She is joining me behind the microphone for Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday. Now, this is a little scary for me, y'all. I'm being transparent. I am sharing with you the good, the bad, and the ugly. But not too long ago, you gave me a really, really nice compliment, Shelby, and you said that I try to practice what I preach. And I appreciate that very much. So we're going to share that, lessons learned along the way. So welcome, Shelby. Welcome, Stephanie. So glad to have you both. But I want to start out with one of the first questions, and it's a question that I got today. Now, this question is a little sensitive, and it's going to step on some of your toes. But if you happen to be watching online, you're watching the video stream, you'll see that I'm holding up a quarter here. Now, my daughter went to the vending machine today and got this quarter out, and this is the question that she asked me. She said, Mom, this quarter is from 1965. Is it, like, worth a lot of money? Stephanie,
I was insulted.
I mean,
and I made that known. Yeah.
So the answer is no, that was not that long ago. But thank you for making us feel old. See, we told you we're going to be real here, keep it real, share the good, the bad, the ugly. But Shelby, 1965, it wasn't that long ago, but I am really appreciative of your generation's affinity for all things vintage, even if it's a quarter from the vending machine. I love it. Well, welcome, Shelby. We're so glad to have you here.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, exactly. You've been on before. So if you missed her before, you can go back and catch those other episodes. Well, what we want to talk about today is we want to answer some of the questions that you have had about 52 Habits for Healthy Families. If you've been following along since January, you know that each week I've given you a new habit to integrate into your family. And really, it's not rocket science. Even though I'm married to a rocket scientist, it's not rocket science on creating healthy habits for healthy families. But it can be hard to do. It feels like a lot of the things are easier said than done. So today what we're going to be doing is answering questions that you have about, okay, yeah, Jessica, you say that habit, but how do you actually do it? So first, I'm going to introduce to you the habit of this week, and that is reading out loud to your kids, reading out loud. Now, when was the last time you read out loud to your kids? It really doesn't matter, honestly, if they're toddlers or if they're teenagers, because research shows that reading out loud to your kids has a lot of benefits. It promotes brain development. It strengthens the bond in your relationship between parent and child. It helps them learn and remember new words while they build their vocabulary. And actually, this is really fascinating. The rhythm of your voice enhances your family's sense of emotional well-being. It reduces stress and it generates feelings of happiness. Now, if you're not in the habit of reading out loud, it might feel awkward at first, but I encourage you just to be authentically awkward and just push through anyway, because Reading out loud with my kids created some of my favorite bedtime memories. It never failed to prompt questions or great conversation to guide their decision-making, to shape their worldview. And I encourage you to do that. So I'm going to turn to Shelby first, and we're going to talk about that, about reading out loud. You're an avid reader, and here we go. I'm going to give you very bravely the microphone and let you share your experience with that as you were growing up.
Well, hopefully I have something to share. But I think that I remember so many nights you just coming to read to my sister and I before we were going to bed, and I think it's just a great time to put tech away and just to, you know, there's obviously time for family movie nights, but especially on school nights when I was like in elementary school, just something special about being able to spend time together without the screen and also just be creatively stimulated, just creating these images in my mind of the things that you were reading out loud to us, and also showed us that you cared because it takes time to read a chapter out loud, and just helping us experience these stories together. And looking back, some of them are cliche, but it's funny because like those are memories that my sister and I have together, and we'll see references to the books or to the settings and still be able to laugh and just remember those together. But it's also something for everyone, you know, because you would read different things to my brothers, and it's just cool to see that legacy preserved. I remember a video with you reading to our brothers and you're wearing a pirate hat, and it's just silly, and it's just...
True story.
A time to be on guard and just to be safe and just to... Just know that it's really special that everyone's creating their own image of what you're reading in your mind, but sharing the same message, and just that time together is, I take it for granted. So fond memories.
It is fond memories. And it always, the stories that we were reading would generate conversation like, oh, what would you do in that situation? Or what do you think about how the writer said that? I would have ended the story this way. Or what would you feel if you were in that situation? And guys, I didn't pay her. Like, I just have a quarter on the table. I'm going to pay you a quarter here, Shelby. Thank you for that.
We'll be worth something one day.
She just said an ancient quarter. Ancient. I don't know. Richard, how are you feeling about that back there behind the board? No, we give that a thumbs down. That's not ancient. But you know, Shelby, that it brings up a good point of conversation, though, in your generation and using screens and reading off of screens. Are you seeing that change in the way that people read, or how would you encourage parents today to engage their kids in reading when they have so many options on a screen?
Yeah, no, I definitely like with Kindles and all that, but it just hurts your eyes. Like someone whose eyesight is already a little bit lacking, I'm like, I need to actually take time away from this blue light. But yeah, it's just important just to be able to gather like just the intimacy, I guess, of parents and kids just gathering closely over a book to be able to see the words and the screen together. And then also, like, especially when I was younger, you let me pronounce some of the words I maybe hadn't heard yet, but it definitely like has set me ahead a lot just as I grew up and throughout my schooling, just being able to expand my vocabulary like that. And now like pursuing a career in writing of my own, it's been great just to remember all the things that we did together and just knowing that foundation. Like, it may seem so trivial to read a 10-page picture book when your kid is like, you know, 4 or 5, but it really does. It's you know, bricks that are laying up to build this greater thing than what you can see at the moment.
Absolutely. I think that's very true. And that was one of the points of encouragement that we wanted to bring to you, our listener, because for all of you mamas who are out there and daddies and grandparents who have those littles and you think like, oh, I'm just reading this book, Chicka Chicka Boom Boom, over and over again.
Yeah.
Exactly. You remember it. And you think, oh, does this matter? It does matter. Look at that. My college-age daughter just quoted that exact line from that book because we've read it probably 4 million times, but there's something about the tactile, you know, feeling a book in your hands. But we're seeing research that says reading a book off of a screen or listening to an audiobook together, that has benefits too. And that is so important. Well, one of the things that we did read a lot more in the summer, especially because we had some more time, but at bedtime, we read a specific series of books. The author that I have had on the show, we read books by Robin Jones Gunn, and they were books about a girl named Christy Miller who was growing up. And I think that those books were really great in generating conversations. So choosing books, you know, according to their developmental age, what they're going through, it was good for generating conversation, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. And the reason I kind of smirk at that on the video camera is just because the books are about a teenager living in the 90s. So it's just fun to read them. And she talks about...
Is that ancient? Or is that just old?
It's over 30 years ago.
Oh,
I'm just going to leave that there.
Goodness. But okay.
It's last century.
That is true. That's absolutely true.
But yeah, it was just fun to like hear about her getting calls with no caller ID. And my sister and I just be like, what do you mean? Like, she couldn't see who was calling her, and it was a big plot point. And so it was, yeah, it's funny just to, like, learn about a different time and what your parents grew up in. And that led to further conversations about your upbringing in your teenage years. So
that's true.
Yeah.
But also seeing that some things don't change, you know, mm-hmm. the insecurities that teenage girls face don't change. And I think that was really good to be able to identify with those, thinking, yeah, I felt those as a teenager in the 90s. And you think, oh, my goodness, like you used to be a kid. Like, how can that be? Right. Oh, well, you know, Stephanie, I want to pivot to you. And one of the other habits that we have is plugging into a local church. And we have a lot of families who are doing that this summer through Vacation Bible School or through camps. But you asked Shelby and I a really good question in the car today when we talked about that as one of the habits, because speaking of questions for Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday, your question to us was, what question do parents most ask when they pick their kids up from a church event? Like, imagine this. I want you to go with me for a second if you're listening. You pick your kid up from church. You're walking out. Maybe you're carrying, you know, paintings that are still wet or little matchstick crosses or something like that. And you're turning to them. What is the question that they're most likely to ask? Shelby, what was it?
Did you have fun?
Did you have fun? Stephanie has something to say about that. She has some guidance for us.
That's not the right question.
Ouch. Okay. What is the right question?
And for those of you that don't know me, prior to being Jessica's producer, I was a children's minister. And so the most common question I would hear when Sunday school was over was, hey, did you have fun today? And of course, you know, hopefully they said yes. But what I would encourage parents to ask is, what did you learn about today? Who did you talk about today? And that begins the conversation that can carry over into the car.
Absolutely.
What scripture did you hear today? And I think that's important. I don't think we ever ask that when we pick up our kid from school.
I know. That's true. We don't ask, we ask when we pick him up from school, we say, do you have homework? I would like to know what my evening is going to look like, right?
Exactly.
Do you have homework? Well, what advice do you have for families, Stephanie, who are plugging into a church this summer? Maybe they've moved. Maybe they aren't in the habit of going to church together, but there's different opportunities that are available during the summer that aren't maybe necessarily as easy to access during the fall. What advice would you have for families who are trying to adopt that habit of plugging into a local church?
Well, I think summer's a great time. Of course, I personally am super passionate about VBS. I actually became a Christian at VBS when I was finishing up second grade. I've always been passionate about it. It is a lot of work, but it's so worth it because it's the entire church body working together from the oldest member to the youngest member. And it's an opportunity to invite people from your community in and let them interact with church members and see that, hey, this is a great place I'd love to plug in. So I highly, highly encourage VBS. But then also just returning on Sunday, going to a Bible study class, to a Sunday school class, asking what they learned about. And then on the way home, talk about it. I think that's what happens too. Did you have fun? Yes or no? Well, then it's time for lunch. Where are we eating? That's the next question, right? The next question. But I think that just creates those conversations, and it shows your kids that it's important. Who did you learn about today? Let's look that up. Let's find where that is in the Bible. Just those conversations, because you're modeling spiritual disciplines.
I think that's great advice. And Shelby, I'd like to come back to you because, you know, you, of course, were in VBS and True Confession Time. We've been commuting this week together to work, and we may or may not have listened to a big VBS playlist on the way to work.
Always. It's top on my list.
and we may or may not have done the motions. Now, I was driving, so I was a little more subdued, but we had emotions. But when we come back, Shelby, I want to ask about your experience of VBS as a kid. And now looking back, you're in college, you've had volunteer experience. What is that like? And we're also going to talk about some summer habits of playing together, because that's one of the habits that healthy families have, is playing together. So how do we do that? And Shelby and I are going to tell you a pretty funny story about an adventure we had at the library. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. We'll be right back. Don't go away. This June marks 2 years since the overturn of Roe v. Wade, but did you know that the number of abortions actually increased the following year? In 2023, the amount of abortions reached its highest level since 2012. Preborn continues to stand strong for women in crisis. Preborn is a ministry of compassion that showers women and babies with God's love, providing free ultrasounds to mothers to introduce them to the precious life growing inside of them. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life.
I'm going to keep my baby, and I'm going to be a great mom.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation will also help to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. So please, give your best gift. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
So I throwed my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a heart.
Welcome back, friends, to Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday, where I am answering questions that I have been hearing throughout the week. And you will have heard that song, Gratitude. Love that song. And let me tell you, I have a lot of gratitude in my heart today and every day, but especially today, because I'm coming to you with my producer, Stephanie Moses. She and I have been friends for decades now. Not quite as long as this quarter, so not quite that long.
Not since last century.
Either. Not since last century. That's
We're
true.
This century friends.
We are this century friends. Okay, I love it. And I'm also grateful that I'm joined by my very own daughter, Shelby. And let me tell you, being her mom is one of the greatest joys of my life. It is just so amazing. You have been with me since the beginning, obviously, Shelby. And in the beginning, I really didn't know what I was doing and I struggled. And you have given me nothing but grace and partnership. And we have learned together and grown together. And our friendship is just one of the greatest things I could ever be grateful for. So thank you for being my daughter. Thank you for being here on the show today. I really appreciate everything that you're doing.
Thank you for giving me life.
You're welcome. Well, before the break, we were talking about the habits. One of the things we're answering questions about is how do you really make these habits work? And so we're trying to give you some real life examples of what that looks like. And we were talking about plugging into a local church. So Shelby, tell us about your experience with VBS, from being a kid in VBS to then volunteering for VBS and then helping run VBS as a children's ministry intern. What is your view on how that impacted your faith?
Yeah, so my sister and I were actually just talking about how this year is like the first year in our entire lives that we haven't been part of VBS just because of scheduling and just growing up and being in this season of young adult life. It's just hard, but VBS is such a special memory, and I'm not going to lie, my sister and my siblings and I are personally convinced that our childhood VBS was the best in the world. Miss Stephanie organized it, and it was just magical. Like, just on the Sunday, you got to walk in and see the stage decorated and find out who your teachers are, and you knew your friends you hadn't really seen at church since Easter or Christmas would be there. And VBS was just such a good time just to have fun, but also just to get those biblical truths instilled by people who cared because they took off of work to be there, or they spent hours putting deco mesh up in a room to be there, those types of things. So that was just like personally and a great impact eternally. But also just from an outreach perspective, some of our very closest friends were just neighbors that we invited to VBS, or friends whose families didn't go to church and maybe we were a little bit hesitant to send their kids to the Baptist church down the street. We were able to invite them to VBS and just be like, oh, you know, it's free daycare, you know, and so, you know, true. There's really no objection there. But just to see their legacy of faith, and they kept coming back, and they kept coming back, sometimes without their parents, or sometimes their parents started coming after a few years, and just to watch them grow up and then become volunteers, it's just truly this, like, beautiful cycle. And it, again, it's kind of like reading when your kids are little, in my perspective. It's just like 4 hours for, you know, 4 days a week of an entire year, but you can't really understate the importance and the vitality of those couple days, and just really the impact that you're having on kids, just giving them a safe place just to have fun and to meet other kids, but also just a place where you can listen to them and just really help them feel seen, because they might not be getting that other way or other places.
It's so true. And Stephanie, I know that you have a really big heart for the workers and the volunteers in VBS, because that is a labor of love. It is not easy. I mean, the snacks are usually pretty good, but it is hard work.
So I will work for good snacks.
Yes, I know. That's true. So I would love for you to give a word of encouragement to encourage people to volunteer for VBS or camp or whatever it is in the summer. Stephanie and I are longtime camp buddies, golf cart buddies, late night adventure buddies for sure, which is awesome. But I would love for you to encourage people to volunteer and encourage those people who are already volunteering.
And I'll say this, I'm not saying that you should volunteer because I don't, because I have actually already volunteered for VBS this summer.
Yeah.
Last week was VBS week, so I would do VBS and then come and do the Dr. Nurse Mama Show.
That's true.
So it was a lot of fun. And it's just such a great opportunity to see kids just absorbing God's word. You know, there's men's retreats, there's ladies' retreats, there's all sorts of getaways. But for kids, this is their retreat time. Sometimes churches are hesitant to do VBS because, well, what if it's just our normal kids that come?
Mm.
But wow, those normal kids you just heard from, Shelby, they are so positively impacted by that, because it is their retreat. It is their just immersion into God's word on their level. And the songs that you sing, we still sing those today, and they're biblical truths. That's how we've learned scriptures every year, is through those songs. So I just encourage you to be a part of it, whether you're serving snacks, playing games with kids, or teaching the Bible lesson. There is a place for you at your church's VBS. And it is a great way to mix the generations. Maybe somebody you see on a Sunday and you don't know who they are, but then the Sunday after VBS, you walk, I saw her at VBS. I know her. It's just, to me, it's just a picture of the church.
I agree. I mean, if you bond over goldfish snacks and maybe a first aid kit that you need, and, you know, those, I said it before, but the matchstick cross, like, that was like the rite of passage for our VBS. Like, you had to be one of the bigger kids to do that, which was really exciting. But, you know, there are a lot of parents who feel pressured during the summer to provide entertainment for their kids, because in the summer, we start off pretty good and, you know, with the best of intentions. As summer goes on, mama gets tired. That's what happens. And VBS is a great way to get your kids to have something to do, to have their energy, to teach them biblical truths. But there are, I think that a lot of moms put pressure on themselves that they feel like every day has to be special. Like every day has to be over the top. And we watch these, our friends who are on Instagram, and they think, oh, like they always look perfect. They act perfect. They're doing these things. But that's really, honestly, that's not how I raised you. That's not how we grew up, right? And I just would love for you to share your experience, Shelby, looking back now as a kid, because like I said before, I think there's moms who feel like they're in those days with littles, and they feel like, does this really matter? And it does, because some of those just simple rhythms that we adopted are now core memories from your childhood.
No, definitely. And I think every day doesn't have to be perfect for everyone, especially because, you know, I'm 104, and so we all have very different tastes. I was the weird kid who loved going to museums, and so we would go to whatever free museum was in Houston, and my sister is not the kid who loves museums.
No.
She would, you know, not enjoy that very much, but then she would get the days where we get to do, like, you know, the other things that she likes to do, or we would go, we had an alligator farm. That's part of growing up in Texas. Anyways,
true.
All the things you can find. But really, I think just what's more important than actually what you're doing is just being present and just spending time with your kids, and just, I think, even more than I remember exactly what we did, I just remember spending time with you. So I remember one day you planned, my mom planned a great day. We were going to go to the zoo.
Oh, no.
Yes. yeah, this happened. And yes, so, you know, we were all excited because we get to go to downtown Houston. And we packed a lunch and drove like an hour through traffic to the zoo. And we get there and we are, you know, my mom gets all four kids out of the car and just strollers and whatever they need. She realizes she forgot her purse with her credit card and her driver's license and all of our money. And so, and then zoo tickets. Didn't end up going to the zoo that day, but I still remember it probably better than any day we did actually go to the zoo. So we got to, you know, go in our minivan that was didn't have a door handle and sing songs together and, you know, do whatever
else.
I bet you
sang BBS songs.
Oh, we definitely did.
On
a
CD.
5-track CD, yeah. But, I don't know, it's just really special days to look back on. Oh, also, another tip.
Okay.
No, this is a good thing.
Okay, right.
One summer, my mom had us keep a summer journal, so this is actually a fun thing. And your kids will appreciate it when you're older, because my siblings and I have been going back to read ours. But just make them write down what they did every day, because their interpretation of it, some of my siblings would say, I woke up, I got dressed, I went here.
That was
and
your
some
brother.
Some of us have very emotional retellings. So, you know, go to Dollar Store, Dollar Tree, get a journal, and it will be a keepsake for years to come. I can assure you that.
That's absolutely true. And that was a big mommy fail for sure. And this was in the days before. I didn't even have a smartphone then, so it wasn't like I could do Apple Pay. I was way too embarrassed to ask anybody to pay for us at the gate. Like, that was not happening. So we did. We just turned around in the car and went home. And I think we watched Hermie and Wormy, the if any of you have ever seen those things. But what I would try to do for my kids was, honestly, sometimes I felt overwhelmed as a mom, because when your kids are home and they're bored, they make messes. That is what they're really, really good at. So we would try to go somewhere where they could walk. If they could walk outside and it was hot and they got tired, like, they would come home and then my house would not be destroyed. That's what it was. But you know what my kids started calling it? Mommy Fun Day, which made me feel like $1 million, because I thought, ooh, even though maybe my motivation wasn't exactly aligned with that, that's what they came up with. And so one of our most memorable Mommy Fun Days, Shelby, was that trip to the library that I talked about a little bit. And on this particular day, we had somebody who was in our community who liked reptiles. Now, that is not me. Like you said, you said that so well, Shelby. Like, some days are for more people than others. This day was not for me. I'm actually petrified of snakes. I did not want to go, but I decided my kids needed an experience, and so we would go. And so as I was going, I saw the snake lady, as we called her, walking into the library. I went to reach past her to open the door, and I realized she had a snake wrapped around her arm, just walking out in public. Now, if that's you and you're thinking that's me, good. I'm so grateful for people who do that. That was not me. But we went in, and I'll let Shelby take it from there. I still made it past it, but I sat in the back, which turned out to be a great decision.
Yeah, anywhere you're going to take your kids that has reptiles or live animals, something will go wrong. There's no, like, you can't have a random, you know. Sometimes if you just try to raise exotic animals in your backyard, it might not go so well for you. But this day, like, check your public library. Say you have a bunch of events. Usually ours did. And if you completed reading, you know, so many books, you got coupons and things. But this particular day was reptile showing, and it was going pretty well until, you know, all the little kids are, like, sitting on the front row. And she has a turtle, which she decided to flip upside down. And then there was a lot of crying kids after that happened, because there was messes made, and
there was a little accident that the turtle had. It needed a bathroom break, which it took all over the front row, which turned out to be great, because I was sitting in the back with my kids, and so they were all screaming. We were all dying laughing. We thought it was hilarious, and there you go. That was free. That did not cost a cent, and it created a memory. But, you know, Stephanie, you and I have had many conversations about you being a boy mom, and play at your house looked way different than it looked at my house. And so what advice would you have for boy moms out there who are trying to just survive?
Cover your eyes and let it go. I remember one time I was sick and my husband was out of town. He was in the Army, and it was Labor Day. So that means we're out of school, right? And I was so sick. I'd eaten something. And my boys converted our backyard into a remote control track. And we were in a drought at the time, but it was so wet and so muddy. I don't know how it happened, But they had the best day, the best day. You just have to let it go. You can't be particular about the messes. You can't be nervous if they're going to jump a ramp or jump over one another. It's all good until somebody gets hurt, and then you just deal with that. We've had that happen to you.
I know. That's so true. So when I had girls, Stephanie had boys, we went to the park when they were preschool age, and Stephanie's oldest son was jumping off of the fire pole, not sliding down it, but jumping off of it. And if I'm really honest, I was kind of judgy because I thought, she's not even watching her kid. Like, really? And so finally, I went over and tapped her very sanctimoniously on the shoulder. Thank you for still being friends with me, Stephanie, because the Lord did see fit to humble me with boys. And I said, do you see what he's doing? And you said, why do you think my back is turned? I don't want to see what is happening. And that's when I realized raising boys sometimes, trying to restrain their energy is like holding back the tide. Like, you cannot do it. Sometimes you just have to, like you said, cover your eyes and let it go.
Right, unless they're crying or...
I know. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
I know.
I think that's some of my boys' greatest memories. My boys are 6 years apart. So, you know, for a long time, they just had such different interests. But they had their little wrestling matches and things. And I find out more and more now that they had that I didn't know about. So there's that. And now I have a new role. I don't think everybody on the show knows this. 6 weeks ago, I got a new title of Grammy. And
so
guess what?
Exciting.
It's a boy. So more adventures to come.
More adventures to come. Exactly. But, you know, I think in this world where our kids are feeling anxious and fearful, it's a world full of serious threats. And we feel like fear is all around us. We need to play together. So I encourage you, no matter what your life stage is, it doesn't matter if your kids are grown or if you're a Grammy or if you're a college student or if you're a middle-aged, semi-ancient mom like
from
me,
last century,
from
1965.
The last century. Exactly. You need to play with your family. So have a family sports day. Do something active together like pickleball. I have started playing pickleball. I play a little. I'm not very good. Yeah,
I can confirm that.
You can confirm that, yes.
Humbly.
But I try, right? Like,
yes.
See, okay.
Always the most enthusiastic.
Always the most enthusiastic. Exactly. Or do a puzzle. Have a nature walk.
I want to talk to you about the puzzle thing later.
Okay, we'll come back to that. Okay, I know Stephanie has a grudge against me about the puzzle. Try Minute to Win It style games. Family charades. Let me tell you, family charades with your grandmother.
Please. Do it tonight, whenever you...
Epic.
So good.
I mean, so good. Some of our favorite family memories. But making play a healthy habit is one of the best ways to reduce stress, build relationships, and cultivate influence. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about family dinners. How do we do it? We'll tell you when we come back.
When you hear this...
This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net and sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net. People have value. But just where does it come from?
God created us in His image, as male and female.
But the enemy is deceiving so many.
We like to shake our fist at God and say, why did you make me this way? I don't like it. I'm going to define who I am for myself.
We must stand on God's truth.
Can we change God's words? Can we change the tense? It's just the tense of a verb. Come on. To be able to get along with everybody, we don't have the luxury to edit what God has said.
In His Image is a life-changing film that takes you through Scripture and shares powerful testimonies to destroy Satan's attempts to pervert God's perfect design.
There's only one last major holdout in society to shed light on what the truth is, and that is the church.
Watch it again or for the first time. Get the 2-DVD set at resources.afa.net. Resources.afa.net.
Welcome back, friends. Oh, he is good. God is so good. And I look back at so much of my life and I think sometimes I can't even believe that I'm sitting here behind this microphone talking to you, but God had a different story, a different purpose for my life. Many of you have read my story in my book, Behind Closed Doors, A Guide for Parents and Teens to Navigate Through Life's Toughest Issues. And that book was thank you so much to my daughter, my beautiful daughter who's sitting here with me, Shelby. She has been such a part of that journey, as has my friend and now radio producer, Stephanie Moses, children's ministry to radio industry, which has been really exciting. And I'm very glad to have both of them behind the microphone for a special episode of Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday, where we are answering your questions on how do we integrate these healthy habits into our life. And so Shelby has already shared with you the good, the bad, the funny, some of the ugly of fails and, you know, triumphs that we have had along the way. But one of the habits that is really most important that we talk a lot about and that we do adopt as a family is family dinner. When is the last time you had dinner together as a family? Because research is clear, families who eat together at least three times a week have a lower risk of anxiety and depression. Their kids are less likely to use drugs, abuse substances, develop an eating disorder, experience teen pregnancy, all kinds of risk-taking behaviors. Family dinner boosts self-esteem and resilience during hard times. But listen, this doesn't mean a gourmet meal with candlelight and jazz music playing. It can be peanut butter and jelly standing around the kitchen counter or a quick meal on the run in the car. The point here is connection. So, Shelby, I'd love for you to share our family's experience of family dinner. And I'm sure somewhere in here is going to be some story about the fact that I don't cook or something about the crock pot I feel like is coming. But that's fine. That's everything is fair game. We are here being authentic and sharing transparently.
Well, since we're in the summer, I won't mention the crock pot because thankfully, you know, when the cicadas start chirping and the summer heat comes, you know the crock pot's getting put in the back of the pantry. So those were celebratory days for my siblings and I. But yeah, family dinners are really special and something that my roommates and I try to do sometimes in college, just mirroring that with our family. Because it is like you're sitting across from them. And I think about even the word like companionship and fellowship that comes from the root word of with bread. And so just thinking about how companionship and fellowship, being with one another, is really facilitated sometimes best over a meal. And so with your family, like, or whoever's just there for the night, you know, if someone has baseball or soccer practice, just sitting together and being able to kind of recap your days. Or there was a season of life where every night my mom tried to teach us a manner from a manners book at the table.
True.
You know, I don't know how many cotillion rules I've been using today in my modern life.
Such a girl mom thing.
Oh, yeah. My brothers did not enjoy that much. But yeah. It is fun. And it is fun, like, when I was younger, to get cookbooks for kids and just to even make it together. And then if you cooked that night, you didn't have to do the dishes. That was another added bonus. But sometimes dinner's a fail, and that makes a happy memory. And then you get to go to Chick-fil-A. But sometimes it works out, and you find a new family favorite recipe. But just spending that time together is really special and one of the highlights of the day.
Do you remember when we had our own cooking show and we would record it and you would cook and we would pretend to be on a cooking show? And then there were times when you would have contests with your siblings, like, or your cousins even, having baking contests and having people vote on that. All of those things can be really fun, I think.
Yeah, thank you. Sometimes those things were a little inedible, but y'all like always tried them and judged them with smiling faces, so appreciate that one.
Well, you know, Stephanie, you just shared that you are a Grammy. You are in a new phase of your life. What does it look like for you as you're in that transition? Speak to those families who are thinking, okay, like, you're almost in that empty nester phase. You know, we just keep talking about things that are like ancient. You know, ancient. We're not ancient, but you are in a transitional phase of life. So what does that look like for you? How has that changed for your family over time?
Well, I am in a transition, and I'm not going to claim to be an expert because I'm only like 6 weeks into this thing. But family dinners, we've been able to go eat dinner after church or meet for dinner. And then I can just, you know, ooh and all over my grandbaby. And I'm not exhausted because I haven't been up with him all night. It's a beautiful thing. But it is different. But I look back over the 52 habits. And I do think every week when we talk about it, how do I implement that in my home now when it's just my husband and myself? My youngest is at home, but he's back and forth to school. He's at home, but not really. So what does that look like? Dinners are, I think, going to be the biggest thing that's going to hold our family together, whether it's at my home or at a restaurant, because let's face it, when we pay for meals, when you're an empty nester, guess what? They come.
Yeah.
And so, hey, I'm all for it.
Exactly.
And I didn't have to cook it, although I don't mind cooking. And I do have one crock pot recipe. I think it's I don't know if it really came from Mississippi, but it's called Mississippi Pot Roast. My kids actually like that.
We'll have to add that one to your list.
I'll try that. Yeah. I'm sure your brother, if he's listening, is going to be so thrilled because he was always particularly enthusiastic about the crock pot.
But I think, too, the family meals, as I look back, I wanted to create the gourmet meals. And, you know, in my mind, I was that mom. But then God gives you a kid that only likes chicken.
Oh, yeah.
And
or
you
Cheetos.
Mashed
potatoes.
You just learn to deal with that, and you realize it's not about what you serve.
Well, one of the things that we do even now, Shelby, is intergenerational meals. We frequently will gather with your grandparents, with extended family, with cousins for meals. What is your experience of that? What do you like about that?
There's always something, you always hear something different, especially with big families. You always sit across from someone different, and you know, sometimes conversation might be stilted, especially if you don't live near each other. So, you know, little shout out for Christmas Eve when we had dinner with a bunch of people. My mom ordered like these little conversation cards. And
I did.
So you either got paired up with like the grandfather who's quote unquote ancient, or, you know, with my 4-year-old cousin, and you're asking them these questions about like, what is your philosophy on this? And like, what is the deep, like most life changing book you've read and all these things. And so it's just really special just to actually get to listen to that. And you know, afterwards you can play cards. We play cards a lot. And that quality time, especially with grandparents, is just something that you can never replace. And especially as I'm in college, like I, you know, think about being home and what I miss about it and just the comforts of home. And like usually where my first goes to is the dinner table with my grandparents and my family and just playing cards because you just feel safe. And it's just a time of fun when phones can be put away and you just get to spend time together.
And it doesn't matter if we've ordered pizza or if maybe your dad is trying a pineapple shrimp recipe that went very badly. Sorry, honey. Yeah. Don't be very careful.
Shelby's face told all the story on that one.
Acidic pineapple with squishy shrimp.
Yeah, it did not go well. Or we're grilling burgers, or it doesn't matter. It's just about the fellowship. Another rule that we've had for our dinner table, Shelby, these are things that we've done well. There are plenty of things that we haven't done well, let me assure you. But one of the things that we have done well is making our dinner table a tech-free zone. You guys will be the first to call out me or your dad if we pull out our phone at the table. And I think that's really important to have the kids engaged in that, to give them some power, to give you some accountability over that. And so in looking at it, that our dinner table is a tech-free zone. Another tech-free zone in our house was your bedroom. So Shelby, I would love for you to tell about the rules that we had about your phones in your bedroom and how your friends thought I was crazy. And you did not die of humiliation, in fact, when we put those rules down. So I'll let you take it away from here.
Sure. So as the Bible says, the truth will set you free. But also, you know, another little proverb here is that the truth will always come out. And so, you know, growing up, we didn't have phones until I was in middle school, and we had Kindle Fires 1 year for Christmas so we could play, you know, Doodle Jump or whatever games we had. And so those couldn't go in the bedroom either, which now, especially like how technology and social media have increased so rapidly, that's a really good rule. Like there, you're not going to miss out on anything between the hours of 9 p.m. and 6 a.m. And it really is for your best, just physically, but also just your safety. Like sometimes your judgment when you're tired and you're also like 12 years old is not going to be great. So that completely understandable. And I feel like that's just kind of a non-negotiable rule, honestly. But sometimes my sister and I did sneak our Kindles into our room. And now it's funny because like on our TV, the Amazon Photos kind of play across the TV when it's in like sleep mode. And so you can like, you know, as little girls do, we took all these selfies. And now like today, 10 years later, the selfies just slowly scroll across the across the TV when we have guests. And so truth sets you free,
so,
and truth
so
wise
you
come out.
Sold yourself out.
Yes. I didn't know that, you know, 21-year-old me would be sold out by 12-year-old me, but here we are. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, when friends come over, just telling them, because especially that's when trouble would happen a lot, was when mm-hmm. friends came over, you know, because I knew my
rules.
Mom trusted me. They had different rules in different families, and so they would have to leave their phone on the ledge after a couple of unhappy incidents, and that just quickly became, you can come over, and if you don't want to, like, if you need your phone, then you don't have to spend the night, but when it's time to go to sleep, phones go to sleep too. And so definitely maybe lost social connections in the end. I can't remember any travesties, but ultimately there are social connections that probably shouldn't have been super strong or super tied to one another, because, again, different expectations, and don't, like, you know, you don't want someone pushing your kids, especially online, with things that can be shared so quickly and things that will never fully go away.
It's true, because when Shelby first started having friends come over, we would say, okay, everybody has to check in their phone here. And I mean, those children looked at me like I had two heads. Like, are you serious? And I was not afraid to be the mom in that moment and say, yes, I am absolutely serious. That is a rule of coming over. And it was fine. You still had friends. It was okay. Well, what about you, Stephanie? Do you have any tech-free zones in your house, or how do you put in boundaries with technology?
Well, again, I'm an empty nester, and I recently was listening to Dr. Nurse Mama, and she was talking about puzzles.
Oh, no, here we go.
And how it was a great way to be tech-free.
Yes.
And so I've never been a huge fan of puzzles. Now, I did the big puzzles, mm-hmm. like the big 24-piece puzzles with my kids, because that was an activity we did together. Mm-hmm. But I went out and I bought this great puzzle. It was some dogs that were sitting and watching the Astros games. Go Astros. And so I started this puzzle. And it is complete. My son, my 19-year-old, helped me do it. And it was not relaxing for me. So I just want you to know, sometimes things that work for some families don't always work for others. I will mm-hmm. not ever purposefully buy another puzzle, and I am actually going to donate my puzzle to the Dr. Nurse Mama family as soon as I get back to Texas, and I'll let you love it, but I finished it.
Okay.
And wow. I have a picture to prove it, but it
might be a while before we have another special episode of Ask Dr. Nurse Mama. I don't know. I feel like I am just getting sold down the river here in both ways. But it's very true. I know. It's very true.
I tried it.
And see, the thing that works for your family that doesn't work for mine is dogs, Stephanie. I can't.
Yeah.
I know. So see, we'll just agree to disagree. But the one thing I know that you and I both agree on is implementing a practice of daily devotionals. And before we're running out of time here, we could talk a lot longer. But Shelby, I do want you to share your experience with that. Now you're on your own. You live on your own. I'm not telling you every day to do your devotional, but I'm with you. When you're home, I see you having that habit and adopting that habit. So I'd love for you to share some words of wisdom about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not perfect. And there's definitely seasons of life, like trying to transition to the summer, where I admit that I need to be in the Word more. And I think it took me a long time from growing up as a kid in private school and church every week to transition from that place of legalism of, like, God's going to get mad at me if I don't read like 80 chapters today and all those types of things. But today it really just is about pursuing a relationship with the Lord and just realizing that, like, He's not setting a timer of how much time I spend with Him, but truly when I do, like, start my day off in His presence, like, I know I walk away looking more like Him, and just interacting with my family and people at work and just really, like, friendships. It does make a difference when you do, like, spend time getting to know Jesus and just reminding yourself of who He is and how we're aspiring to live like Him. So don't be hard on yourself if it's not, like, it's not a standard comparison to someone else. It's about your personal walk and relationship with Him and just keeping that in tune.
Another habit you have that I think is really great is you're a big journaler. You love to write in your journal. And I think that that's such an important habit for us all to have, to look back and to see where we've grown think of things that we're struggling with that we're not struggling with at all anymore, places where the Lord met us in our point of need and just ways that we have learned and walked with the Lord and to see the evidence of his faithfulness throughout that. Like you said, it's interesting just to see the way that you write about it and the way that God answers that. Well, we've been talking about 52 habits for healthy families. Every week we give you a new habit. These are just basic foundational building blocks to strengthen and to nurture your family. Ever since January, we've been giving you one every week. And if you're thinking, you know, I don't know if I have listened to all of those, you can actually go on to AFR.net or go to the podcast and you can download the Dr. Nurse Mama Coaching Minutes, where I give you these habits in just 1 minute little bites and you can catch up on all of them and give yourself a pop quiz and see how you're doing. Follow along with us. We will prescribe more hope for healthy families next time when I see you. In the meantime, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and give you peace.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.